All right, Rebbe Say, good morning, good morning. Let us begin a beautiful, beautiful daf ahead of us today. Begin by thanking all of our sponsors. Thank our Time and Torah sponsors for the month of Nisan. Paul and Kathy Pollack for dedicating all the Shemin Drushos this month in memory of Paul's parents, Shmuel ben Zechariah and Sarah Bas Avram. And to thank Shandy and Avram Kelman for dedicating all the Shurim this month in memory of Avram's mother, Sarah Brina Bas Yoshua Heschel. To thank our Day of Learning sponsor, Yehuda Buchwalter and family, in memory of Asher Buchwalter, Zichrono Livracha, and the commemoration of the 78th anniversary of his liberation from Buchenwald. Incredible. To thank our Dafyomi sponsors for today, Greg and Rachel Levitan, in commemoration of the 5th yahrzeit of Rachel's mother, Sylvia Schreiber. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the Neshamas will have an Aliyah and the families in Nechama. And what's with that, let us begin. Today's Daf is Chaf Aleph 21. We are picking up in Miras Hashem on 20b. Chaf Amud Beis. So let's just pick up again at the two dots. The second two dots up. Vehim Omim Hotzi Uha. We actually started this already yesterday. So this is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20. 22 lines up from the bottom. Vehim Omrim Hotzi Uha. So remember again, this is talking about once the waters begin to check her, the Mishnah explains that the effects are really instantaneous. So they would say, quickly go ahead and take her out before she dies in the Beis HaMikdash. To which the Gemara says, my time, but what's the reason they have to take her out immediately? The Doma Mesa, because perhaps she's going to die. And obviously having a corpse in the Beis HaMikdash, in the courtyard, is not a good thing. To which the Gemara says, Lamemer, the Mesa, Asura Machana Leviyah, is that to say that you can't have a corpse in Machana Leviyah? Let's remember again, we ended off with this yesterday, that like the desert, so the Beis HaMikdash is structured in the same way. When we travel in the desert, there was Machane Shechina, which was the Aron. There was Machane Leviya, which was the Levim surrounding the Aron. And then, of course, there was Machane Yisrael, which were the rest of the Shvatim. So too in the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash courtyard proper, which is the other side of Shar Nikanor, that's the Machane Shechina. The outside of Shar Nikanor, which we'll call again the general courtyard, that's called Machane Leviya. And the rest of Har HaBayis and Yerushalayim is called Machane Yisrael. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. You're allowed to have a dead body in Machane Leviya. After all, the Gemara says, not only could Tami Meis come into Machane Leviya, but even Meis Atzmo Shenemar Vayikach Moshe's Atzmos Yosef Imo Mechitzasom. It will say, so ultimately the Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu took the remains of Yosef with him. And I will say, remember again, we had this beautiful Gemara about Moshe Rabbeinu taking the remains of Yosef. We saw this during Chol HaMoed. And again, the Gemara says, Imo, what does Imo mean? Imo means Mechitzasom. That where Moshe Rabbeinu traveled, ultimately the remains of Yosef traveled along with him. Where did Moshe Rabbeinu travel? Moshe Rabbeinu traveled in Machane Leviya. So mostly you see over here that not only could someone who's Tamei Meis travel in Machane Leviya, but even the Meis itself could travel in Machane Leviya. Amar Abaye says, Shema Tifros Nida. I'll say, if we have time, by the way, I'll share with you something truly beautiful about Atzmos Yosef. We'll come back to that in a little bit. If we have time today, beautiful idea by the Shlach Kaddish. In any event, so the Gemara says as follows. So the Gemara says, so therefore, it can't be that we're afraid of her dying. So what are we afraid of? Amar Abaye Shema Tifros Nida. We're afraid that ultimately, again, she may become a Nida. She may menstruate. As a result of the fear of the situation, she may menstruate. And that type of Tumas Nida, could be potentially problematic in Machane Leviya. So the Gemara says, well, so take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Rashi Matifros Nida, Agav bi'usasa demayim hamarim, excuse me, vanida vazav abal keri asura Machane Leviya. So we'll say we're concerned that as a result, ultimately, again, of her fear of the water, she may come to menstruate. And again, remember, so that type of Tumas Nida or Zava, people who are Tamei of that type of Tumah are not allowed in Machane Leviya. That's what we're concerned about. To which the Gemara says, L'meimra, to be Susa Merafya, is that to say that fear, literally both say, fear loosens, that's what Merafya means. Fear loosens, that in other words, that fear could cause a woman to menstruate. To which the Gemara says, in the Sivat Hischalchal Hamalka Ma'od. So it was actually a reference to Megillas Esther, that here the Gemara Masechta Megillah Darshins, that Esther was fearful of having to approach Achashverosh. Remember again, this service, she goes without permission. She was so fearful that ultimately, again, the fear caused her to menstruate. So I'm a Rav, Shapir Sanido, I Vahanan Tanan, Charada Misalakes Damim. But Rabbi say we have a concept ultimately that fear actually prevents women from menstruating. We've constant Meseches Nida, that when a woman is living in a state of fear, that fear could actually prevent a normal menstrual cycle. So which one is it? Does fear induce a menstrual cycle, or does fear remove a menstrual cycle, or prevent? To which, right, we answer, right, our joining of worlds. Michas Chavar, we have Rabbi Chinan Hilchos Nida, and Mir Hashem this week. Next week, it's beautiful. So we'll say, Slimar says as follows, so I'm going to, good. To which the Gemara answers, this is fascinating, Pachda Somis Beisus Samarafia. Shabbos said, the Gemara actually explains that it depends on the type of fear. Literally, pachda tzomis, if you look at Rashi, pachda, pachad, what's pachad? Daigo she'ino ba pito. Shabbos said, a worry that does not come about immediately. So in other words, we'll call it sustained fear. Sustained fear. An ongoing and sustained daigo. Elo do, I guess, shema yavo ivim. Shabbos said, really what it means is, it doesn't mean a sustained fear, it means anticipatory fear, right? Fearing something that may occur, ultimately, again, tzomes es hamakar, causes the uterus to constrict, and ultimately, again, prevents the flow of blood. So pachdo tzomes, anticipatory fear, tzomes causes contraction, causes, again, the uterus to contract, and therefore for there to be no blood. Conversely, biusasa, Rashi says, habo'a pit'om, fear that comes about immediately, kigonzu, for example, this is the water fear, for example, ultimately, mirafia, causes a loosening, ultimately causes the bleeding to occur. So I will say a very interesting distinction. Pachad tzomis, anticipatory fear, contracts, causes women not to bleed. Biusasa, kind of present fear, or immediate fear, literally again, haba'a pitom, right, anticipatory fear versus, we'll call it sudden fear, all right, or present fear, or unexpected fear, it's not really unexpected because it's happened, right, so present fear ultimately causes her to bleed. So therefore, again, interestingly enough, it appears over here that in the case of sota, we're concerned more about biusasa, which is like this immediate sudden fear, could cause her to become an ida, and therefore, again, they say, quickly take her out of the Beis HaMikdash compound. But also, I was very struck by this lashon over here, these two different types of fear. And perhaps, again, there's a profound, profound life lesson in this as well. And maybe it's like this, pachat samis. What does it mean, pachat samis? It's not just a din in ida, it's a din in life. It was like, there are people who live life with constant anticipatory fear, right? In other words, always getting nervous about what may occur. What's going to happen? What's going to happen, right? This could go wrong. It was like, what's the effect of living life with anticipatory fear? Summis. You contract. You're frozen. You're paralyzed. Because if at any given moment you contemplate all the things which can go wrong in life, there's a limitless number of things that could just go off the rails. So if you live life with pachad, tzomis, you contract, you're frozen, you're paralyzed, and you can't do anything. Masha'en kein bi'isusa marafia. Rebbe will say, what's bi'isusa? So bi'isusa, Rashi says over here, haba pitom. So bi'isusa perhaps means an approach to life where you just roll with it, right? Whatever it is, right? Whatever is going to happen, pitom, whatever is going to happen immediately, okay, I'll deal with it as it comes along, right? I'll deal with it as it unfolds. And if you live a life ultimately, again, of bi'isusa, what happens? Merafia. What does merafia mean? Merafia means it's loose. Merafia means you find a way to navigate, you find a way to pivot, you find a way to move forward. Bi'isusa, live life with constant anticipatory fear about what may go wrong. Tzomis, contraction, paralysis, can't do anything. Bi'isusa, a willingness to just engage and encounter the challenges of life as they unfold. merafia, you're loose, you're able to pivot, you're able to meet the challenges. Incredible, incredible idea from Chazal. Let's go back there. Yesh l'schus ha'isa tola. So let's remember again, if she had a schus, the schus ultimately again could go ahead and stave off the effects of the waters. So the Gemara says, money must nisim. Who's, and I remember I'll say, our Mishnah spoke about the idea that the waters, that the schus could be tola for a year, 2 years, 3 years. So the Gemara says, whose opinion is this? Money must nisim. Lo Abba Yossi ben Chanan, v'lo Rabbi Elazar ben Yitzchak, ish kfar darom, v'lo Rabbi Shmuel. None of these opinions. This anyo, im yesh lo schus tol lo shlosh chadoshim, kedei akaras ube divrei Abba Yossi ben Chanan. So as Rabbi Yossi ben says, if she has a schus, the schus can go ahead and delay the effects of the order for 3 months. What's 3 months? What's 3 months? The amount of time it takes for a pregnancy to become visible. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yitzchak, ish kfar darom, omer tes chadoshim, not 3 months, but 9 months, Shine Emar, Vnixa, Vnizra, Zera, Ulahalon, who Omer, Zera Yavdani Yusupar, Zera Rai the Saper. Fine. Rabbi Shmuel says, Shne Masar Chodesh, 12 months, Yafa Pishin, Rai the Dover, Zechat Rabbo says, so this last piece is absolutely incredible. Where does he get 12 months from? So Rabbo says, this is based on a story in Daniel. So the backdrop to this is, the Navi Daniel says to Nebuchadnezzar, there is a divine decree that you are going to be punished. Nebuchadnezzar's punishment, by the way, is that ultimately, again, he suffers some type of breakdown that leads him to think that he's an animal, and he ends up living with the animals. Daniel says to Nebuchadnezzar, you could effectively stave off this decree if you engage in chesed. It's incredible, right? If you take care of the poor, the Jewish poor, you could stave off the decree. That's the Pasuk the Gemara is quoting over here. D'chsiv lahen malka malki yishavar alecha, v'chitecha b'tzdaka perok, v'visicha b'michar inyan, tapo chafalif, hein tehevi arka l'shal vaseich. So again, Daniel says to Nebuchadnezzar, if you go ahead and you engage in chesed, you could prolong, that's what it means, arka shal vaseich, you could prolong a sense of tranquility for yourself. And how long does it work for Nebuchadnezzar to stave off the effects of this decree? Uksiv l'ksas yarchin tre asar. He staved off the effects of this divine decree, ultimately for what? For 12 months. For 12 months. Well, if you take a quick look at Rashi, first Rashi and Chafalaf and Medalef, Rashi says, Hein tehevi arka l'shal vaseich, va'az tehei orach zman l'shlomeich, shlo yavo alech haparanos. Right? So Nebuchadnezzar, there's a way to stave off the divine decree. V'chein asa Nebuchadnezzar, listen to this. Hayimekabes b'chol yom aniyei Yisrael shehevi begola. Every single day Nebuchadnezzar would gather the Jewish poor. Now remember again, why are they poor? Why are they poor? They're poor because he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and he exiled them. He exiled them. Yet what? V'hayutzvichin mezonos u'misparnes. V'yaf Daniel k'shiyasiyu eitzazu l'kach nizkavein shiras Yisrael begola b'chazun ala psachar. This is incredible. So Daniel says to Nebuchadnezzar, if you take care of the Jewish poor, you could stave off the divine decree for some amount of time. And Nebuchadnezzar, to his credit, ultimately went ahead and did so. So again, there's so much to talk about in each of these Gemaras, but just to point out the power of chesed, the absolute power of chesed, that even if there is a divine decree that is hovering over an individual, at the end of the day, chesed has the ability. I would say, when you live a life that is not about yourself, and a person lives a life that is focused on others, the ability to become a Baal Chesed, literally, we'll say, if it can work for Nebuchadnezzar to stave off a terrible divine decree, then imagine what Chesed could do for each of us in our respective lives as well. Absolutely incredible. How long did it stave off the decree for? To which the Gemara says, Uksiv l'ksas yarchin tre asar. 12 months. 12 months. Right? 12 months it went ahead and it's staved off the decree. Say, by the way, it also tells you that what's the power of chesed? So we'll say a lot of times in life we get ourselves into bad situations because of bad decisions we've made. Like sometimes I find myself in a bad spot because of life circumstances. Sometimes I find myself in a bad spot because of poor decisions I have made. The power of chesed is not only the ability to stave off a divine decree, but the power of chesed is the ability to help you back out of bad decisions that you yourself have made. It's an incredible, incredible idea. So how long did it stave off the divine decree for Nebuchadnezzar? 12 months. Therefore, I will say, again, the Gemara is suggesting that maybe if the Sota has a schus, ultimately, again, this schus could help her for up to 12 months. So the Gemara says, Correct. The older Rabbi Shmuel. So we'll say in reality this Mishnah reflects the Rabbi Shmuel. Va'ashkach kra de amar vitani. So ultimately, again, Rabbi Shmuel found the pasuk. What was the pasuk? The siv ka amar Hashem ashlosha pishe edom. Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, ultimately, again, for the three sins of Edom, ultimately, again, I'll give them a little bit of time. So we'll say the Gemara, so Rabbi Shmuel Darshan's three sins, maybe again a reference to 3 years, and that's where the Mishnah gets our idea of up to 3 years that a schus could be tolala. So we'll say, I don't understand, why does Rabbi Shmuel go ahead and discount the power of this particular pasuk? Again, seems to be a good raya. Perhaps again, I will say, since ultimately again he's bringing a pasuk from Edom, maybe when it comes to the Ovdei Kochavim, maybe at the end of the day when it comes to idolaters, so perhaps again Hakadosh Baruch Hu doesn't hold them to the same level of accountability. Take a look at Rashi. Dilma mifkad dina alayhu ein memarim min hashemayim lifkod avonosam aleihem. So you will say, by the umos holam, the nations of the world, Hashem does not exact retribution from them as quickly as he does for Klal Yisrael. You will say, a very profound Gemara. By the nations of the world, Hashem does not punish as quickly. So therefore, again, maybe that pasuk that he's quoting, which is by Edom, is not such a good pasuk. Again, Kamashon, that's why, again, it's not an explicit drasha, but ultimately, again, it's a remez. It's a remez, we'll say. But this last piece is so profound as well, that Kadosh Baruch Hu runs to exact punishment from Klal Yisrael. Right? That when we do something wrong, ultimately punishment is exacted. Why? That's for our benefit. It's for our benefit. Because so much better to go ahead and have judgment measured out against us in this world, so that whatever iniquity and whatever culpability there is, let it be done with, so that it merits Hashem, it paves the way, ultimately, again, nationally and individually, for a beautiful Olam Haba. Incredible. The Gemara goes right to Vihish, Schus, Tola Gimoshanim. So we'll say, so remember, again, there can be a Schus that ultimately suspends judgment for up to 3 years, to which the Gemara says, Schus Demai. So we'll say, so what type of Schus? Right? So we've spoken about the idea of perhaps where we find a scriptural allusion to this idea, but Lamaisa, practically, what type of schus could stave off the effects of the water? Ilema schus to Torah. So what do you want to say? Maybe it's the schus of the fact that she's learned Torah. Well, that's hard to understand because ha'ina mitzvah va'osehi. We'll say a woman is not obligated in Talmud Torah. Right? So it would be interesting to say that a particular schus that she's not obligated in would be the very thing that would stave off the effects of the water. Ela schus de mitzvah. Rather, it must be that a schus of a mitzvah. In other words, it doesn't have to be a particular mitzvah. Rather, what the Mishnah is saying is, if she has amassed some amount of positive spiritual activity, that activity, we'll call it mitzvah, has the ability to stave off the effects of the water. To which the Gemara will say, is an incredible Gemara. Schus de mitzvah mi magna kulihai. It will say, is a mitzvah that powerful to save one, in this context, to save a woman from sota, from the effects of the sota waters? And in general, does a mitzvah afford that level of protection? Vatanya, Rabbi says, incredible. We learned, Ezudar Shar Menachem Bar Yossi. Rabbi Menachem Bar Yossi dashed in the following thing. Ki ner mitzvah, the Torah are. Rabbi says, this is incredible. Ner mitzvah, literally again, so the pasuk compares a mitzvah to a ner. A ner is a candle. The Torah are. Torah is like light. Now, we'll say, when we speak about light, R usually refers to something which comes from a consistent light source, like the sun, like the moon. So therefore, you have Torah. So mitzvah is compared ultimately, again, to a ner. Torah is compared to, I will say, what's the distinction? Listen to this. Tala ha-kasa ves ha-mitzvah b'ner ves ha-torah ba'ar. So the pasuk goes in and compares a mitzvah to a ner, to a candle, and compares Torah to light. Es ha-mitzvah b'ner lo malacha, to teach us that what? Why does it compare a mitzvah to a ner? Man ner eina magina ela lefisha. Just like a candle only provides light for a limited amount of time. Af mitzvah eina magina ela lefisha. So to a mitzvah only protects for a limited amount of time. So we'll say, the Pashtos, what that means is, just like the candle only provides light when it's lit, So too, again, the mitzvah only provides protection when one is actively engaged in the performance of that mitzvah. V'esa Torah ba'ar, be'et the Torah is compared to ar lomar lecha, ma'ar magin li'olam, or meyer li'olam is changed to, right? Just like ar emits an eternal light, right? The sun, the moon, are constant luminaries, af Torah megina li'olam. So Shabbos said, the power of Torah is that Torah protects forever. That's incredible. Absolutely incredible. Torah protects forever. So let's analyze this. What is incredible? Va'omer, bishalechacha, tancha osach. Shabbos said, pasik, bis pasik, pasik in Mishlei. Right? So I want to say, if you recognize that pasik, right, we recite this at the end of every siyum. Bishalechacha, tancha osach, b'shach b'cha, tishmar alecha, v'akitzosa, hitisichecha. So we'll say, what does this mean? Bishalechacha, tancha osach. Literally, when you walk, it will guide you. When you walk, it will guide you. Now, I will say, we reference this in a siyum because we understand that this pasuk is actually a reference to Torah. Now, watch this. I will say, isn't how beautiful this is. Bishalechacha tanchosach. When you walk, it will guide you. Now, I will say, it's not clear what the it is. What the it is, right? So, when you walk, it will guide you. What does that refer to? Ze olam hazeh. Or is that the walking, bishalechacha, the walking refers to this world. Tishmar alecha, it will watch over you. Zumisa, this refers to death. We'll say first wide, end of the first wide line. Vakitzosa hitisichecha. Literally again, when you awaken, it will be your conversation. What does that refer to? La'asad lavo. Right? Tchias ha-mesim, yimosa mashiach. So we'll say, what is this talking about? We'll say, get ready for this mashal. Absolutely magnificent. Second wide line, chafalef amad alef 21a. Mashali Adam Shay Mahalik bi Ishan Laila. To what could this be compared? This could be compared to a man who's walking in the middle of the night. Right? Bi Ishan Laila Va'afela. So we'll say, it's not just the middle of the night, but what? Pitch black. Umisyari mina kotsim, umina pchasim, umina barnikim. And obviously again he's afraid of what? He's afraid of the thorns. Ultimately, again, he's afraid of the pits, right? And he's afraid of all types of thistles. He's afraid of the things that could hurt him. Not only that, omichaya ra, omina listin. He's afraid of wild animals, and he's afraid of robbers. And to compound all of this, see, he's afraid of, right, the natural obstacles. He's afraid of robbers. He's afraid of wild animals. And to compound this, ve'eino yodea be'ez derach mahalich. We'll say, to compound this what? He doesn't know where he's going. So not only is it pitch black, see, can't see what's out there. He doesn't know which direction he's going in. So we'll say, so what happens? Nizdamna lo avu. We'll say, and obviously you understand the metaphor, right? You understand the metaphor. The metaphor, of course, being for the journey of life. That often we're in this world, or in this olam hazeh, and I will say, I'm often walking in darkness. I'm walking in total darkness. And because I'm walking in darkness, again, there are physical dangers of which I am unaware. And ultimately, again, there are spiritual dangers of which I'm unaware. And the most difficult part of the journey in this world is I don't know if I'm going in the right direction of life. I don't know if I'm headed down the right path or not. So what happens? I will say, Nizdamna lo avuka shal ar. Suddenly, again, someone gives me a torch. A torch. So we'll say, what does the avuka shal ar do? Nitzal mina kotsim umina pchasim umina barnikim. So what that does is, it saves me. I can see a little bit like the ground in front of me. So it saves me from the thorn bushes, and it saves me from the pits. Right? It saves me from all that stuff. And I will say, what's the torch? Look at Rashi. Nizdam lo avuka shal ar. Kach zaka lekayim mitzvah. Nitzal mimiktsas paranos. So I will say, the torch is a mitzvah. So a person engages in a mitzvah. What does a mitzvah do? A mitzvah gives you light. And what a mitzvah does is a mitzvah affords some level of protection. So suddenly, I'm not falling into pits. Suddenly, I'm not tripping over thorn bushes. So mitzvah gives me some amount of light. So I would say, and again, the light is, I can see the area immediately around me so that I'm not falling into pits, I'm not falling into thorn bushes. But what's the problem? But I still have to worry about wild animals and robbers. And also, and I don't know which direction I'm going in. And I will say, we're going to see over here the different pieces. So right, the thorn bushes and the pits, that represents certain physical dangers. Certain physical dangers. So a mitzvah has the ability to protect me from certain physical dangers. That's the light. That's the light. But even if I'm safe from spiritual dangers, the Rebbe said, what am I safe from? The spiritual dangers. Right? That's represented by the robbers and the wild animals. That's the Yetzer Hara. That's the Yetzer Hara. Those are the very forces which literally seek to spiritually derail me. So what happens? So even though I have the torch of the mitzvah, that helps to save me from some physical dangers, but I still have to worry about the spiritual dangers of life. So I'll say, and furthermore, I don't know where I'm going. Kevan shalom with Shachar, then the sun rises. I will say sunrise over here. Sunrise, it represents ultimately again, Torah. Torah. I engage in the study of Torah. What does Torah do? Torah illuminates my world. Torah illuminates my world. I will say, and the study of Torah girds me with the spiritual strength to resist the Yetzer Hara. So I said, the sun comes up, I engage in Torah, suddenly I have the ability to combat the thieves, right, the robbers, and the wild animals of life. So I say, is this not absolutely amazing? Is this not absolutely amazing? So here I said, listen to the metaphor. I am this person in this world of darkness, and there are all of these dangers lurking around me. First thing, get your torch of mitzvahs. Engage in mitzvahs, because we'll say, what do mitzvahs do? Mitzvahs save me from the physical pitfalls of life. Engage in a life of mitzvahs, and it saves you from the thorn bushes and from the pits, the physical obstacles of life. Engage in Torah, and what does Torah give me? Torah is the torch that I carry with me. And where we'll say, as long as you're holding that torch, what does the torch do? It keeps the robbers, the mitzvah is the torch, I'm sorry. Right? Call the torch of mitzvah and ultimately save yourself from the physical dangers of this world. Then I will say, but that's not enough. I need the sun. I need the sun of Torah. The light of Torah keeps away the listim and the chayas ras. Keeps away the Yetzer Hara. Keeps away the Yetzer Hara. Right? Being steeped in Torah helps it. Again, it doesn't conquer the Yetzer Hara. I will say, what does it do? It keeps the Yetzer Hara at a distance. It keeps it at a distance. But I will say, what's the great challenge? I will say, right, even with the torch of mitzvahs, and even with the sunrise of Torah, I still don't know if I'm going down the right path of life. Am I headed in the right direction? So I will say, what happens? Once you get to the crossroads, nitzal mikulam. You're saved from everything. I will say, what are the crossroads? Take a look at Rashi. Higil parshas drachim. Rashi says over here, V'sham hikir es darko, v'afkan higia liyom hamisa. Now let's say, the only way, or the only moment, you really know if you are on the right path in life, is the day you leave this world. Now let's say, the greatest challenge of life is, I never really know if I'm going down the right path. Now let's say, just to understand this very nuanced idea, a person could lead a life of doing good things. It doesn't necessarily mean that I'm on the path that's right for me. Right? This is the great challenge of the human condition. You could live a life filled with Maisim Tovim, Mitzvahs, and Torah. It doesn't mean necessarily that you're doing all the things you're capable of accomplishing. And this is the great challenge in life. So now, I have the torch of mitzvahs. The sun is up. So I'm Torah, half Torah. I'm keeping the Yitzhar, the Chayas Ras, Listim Epei. And I still walk around with like this nagging question of, am I living the best life I can? Am I doing what I need to be doing? And I will say, that's the challenge of the human condition. And you really only know that until you get to crossroads. And when do you get to the crossroads? After 120. After 120, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was standing at the crossroads to tell me, Shkoyach, or great job, but. Great job, but. Right? Great job, but there could have been more. There should have been more. There could have been a different kivud, a different direction. It's overwhelming. Overwhelming. Davar Acher. Aveira mechaba mitzvah ve'in aveira mechaba Torah. Both say the possibilities. An aveira has the ability to extinguish a mitzvah, but an aveira doesn't have the ability. Both say, I just want to tell you something. That gemara that we just read, I think this is probably one of the most powerful gemaras in all of Shas. This is a life gemara. In other words, if you had a choice to learn one gemara and that's it, chas v'shalom, that's all the gemara you have in life, that's it. Sota, chafalef, mouth, because we'll say, that's it. Get your torch of mitzvahs, get your sunrise of Torah, and recognize that you got to find your right direction, but you never really know until you get to the crossroads. To get to the crossroads, say, that's life. That's life. Incredible. So the Gemara says, an avera has the ability to extinguish a mitzvah, but an avera can't extinguish Torah. Shneimar, mayim rabim lo yuchlu l'kabos esa'ava. I will say, even the great waters can't extinguish love. The love in this context, of course, is a reference to Torah. So we will say, because the truth is, what does a Jew love in life more than Torah? Incredible. I'm Rabbi Yosef. Mitzvah be'inna da'asikba. Mignmas. So further discussion. Rabbi Yosef says, a mitzvah, when you're actively engaged in it, Migna umatzla. I will say this lashon is very interesting. Migna umatzla. I will say migna means it saves you from yisurin, from suffering, from negative physical events. Matzla means it saves you from the Yetzahara, right? From the evil inclinations, proclivities, wants, and desires of life. So Rabbi Yosef says like this: when you're performing a mitzvah, migna it protects you from suffering. Umatzla it saves you from the Yetzahara. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Be'ina delo asik be," but when you're not doing a mitzvah, in other words, what happens after the performance of the mitzvah? So I'm no longer doing it, but I have the schos. Agune migna atzula umatzla. It saves you from suffering, but not from the Yetzahara. I will say, isn't that incredible? Right? So a mitzvah could save you from suffering even after the performance, but it only saves you from the Yetzahara when you're actively performing it. Once it's done, it no longer saves you from the Yetzahara. I will say, we don't need a Gemara to tell us that. I know that, right? That's life. That's life, right? I know when I'm actively performing the mitzvah, I'm pretty safe from the Yetzahara. Once it's done, I might have the schus, might protect me from other things, but not from the Yetzahara. Torah, bein be'idna da'asik be, bein de'idna da'asik be, migna umatzla. But Rav Yosef posits Torah, the power of Torah, is that whether you're learning it or you're not learning it, it has the ability both to protect you from suffering and as well as from the Yetzahara. Maskifla Ravas, Rabba says, El me'ata, do'ag v'achki tofel, milo aski v'torah, amaylo egina layu. So if that's the case, do'ag v'achki tofel. Right, I'll say again, who are enemies of David HaMelech. They learned Torah. So ultimately, again, why did that not prevent them from making mistakes? To which the Gemara says, be'idna to lo asik ba aguni magna atzulei lo matzla mitzvah bein be'idna da asik be, bein be'idna da lo asik ba aguni magna atzulei lo matzla. So I will say, the Gemara now revises its position. A mitzvah, at most protects you from suffering, from yisurin, never protects you from Yetzirah. Incredible. Never protects you from Yetzirah. Rav Sugimara says, Avina, I'm sorry, did I skip here? Yeah, I think I skipped, right? Yeah. Milo Asker Torah, Amaylo Egin Alayu, Elo Amarava, sorry. Torah, Be'ina Da'asik Ba, Migna Umatzla. So Rav says like this, Torah, when you're learning it, ultimately, it protects you from suffering and from Yetzahara. Be'ina delo asikba, when you're not learning it, aguni migna atzulei lo matzal. Ultimately, we'll say even Torah, right? Torah, when you're learning it, ultimately, again, protects you from everything. When you're not learning it, it protects you from yisurin, doesn't protect you ultimately, again, from the Yetzahara. So mitzvah, be'ina da asikba, be'ina delo asikba, aguni migna atzulei lo matzal. We'll say, but a mitzvah is less powerful. And a mitzvah at most only has the ability to save you from suffering, never has the ability to save you from the Yetzirah. Incredible. Ravina says, Rabbi Yosef, just pointing out how you see this interesting machlokus about the power of Torah versus the power of mitzvos. And I will say one thing is absolutely clear, which is absolutely riveting to contemplate, that the power of Torah is more powerful than the Torah of a mitzvah. Right? Which is fascinating, right? Because again, generally, our whole conception of Torah, it's lilmod al menas la'asos, right? The whole point of Torah is in order to inform and to shape what you do. But yet, Rabbi said, what you see over here is something so profound, that what you do is meaningless unless it's shaped and informed by Torah. So therefore, again, because of that, as much as the actional component is the ikar within Yiddishkeit, from an importance perspective, nothing is more important than Torah. Because without being grounded in the hashkafas of Torah, everything else I do is unanchored. And if it's unanchored, I run the risk of really getting myself in significant trouble. That's why from the perspective of Chazal, the Torah has a protective power that mitzvos never have, which is a really incredible idea to contemplate. Ravina says, we'll say, so remember again, how do we get into this whole thing? We're trying to figure out what zuchus does the sota have that can offset or stave off the power of the waters. So Ravina Ravina says, zuchus Torah. In reality, we'll say, back to what we said before, it's the zuchus of Torah that has the ability to stave off the effects of the water. One second, we said, but a woman is not obligated to learn Torah. If a woman is not obligated to learn Torah, why is that the mitzvah that staves off the effects of the rabbis? Listen to how beautiful this is. So I will say, ultimately, you're right. A woman is not obligated to learn Torah. Fine, that's fine. But listen to this, I will say, Be'igra, the mikrin umasnin benayhu. So I will say, in the schos, that literally, again, the mikrin umasnin benayhu. I will say, if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, second Y line, the mikra masnin shetarchos al b'nehem la'avin la'beis ha-sefer likra mikra v'lishnos mishnah. In the schus that a woman often prepares her children to go off to learn Torah. Right? She prepares them, right? Literally preparing them can mean everything from literally preparing them to taking them, to picking them up, to waiting for them. Rana Rezabo say, it's a plug for carpool over here, right? But the nice, right? In the merit of the mother going ahead and preparing and taking her children to learn, and ultimately again, and she waits for her husband to come home from the Beit Medrash. Does she not receive a large portion of their schar as well? And I will say, what does this mean? So I will say, it's such a beautiful Gemara, and what it's telling you is the role of a Jewish woman in the Jewish home, which is that the Jewish woman is the enabler of the ruchnius of the home. She is the ultimate enabler. She is the one who creates the spiritual atmosphere for her children. She is the one who creates the spiritual atmosphere for her husband. She is the enabler. In general, the power of a Jewish woman in a home is that she's generally the enabler for every positive thing that happens in the home. But specifically here, the Gemara is making a reference or a focus on the ruchnius. She is the one that allows the Torah and the ruchnius of the children to actualize. She is the one who allows, ultimately, again, the Torah and the ruchnius of her husband to actualize. So because she is the enabler, we've seen this many times in Chazal, that sometimes more than the merit you could accrue for yourself by doing something is becoming the enabler for other people's spiritual growth. When you become the catalyst for others around you, that compounds your own personalistic zechuyos. So the Gemara says something amazing. What zechus does the sota have? It's the zechus of Torah. But she's not obligated to learn Torah. It's not just simply talking about the zechus of the Torah she learns, but rather it's talking about the zechus of the Torah that she enables in the other members of her family. The zechus of the spirituality that she enables in her children, in her husband. That zechus is so powerful that it could even stave off the effects of the sota waters. I will say, by the way, you'll say to yourself, but come on, if she's a sota, right? I will say, remember again, who are we talking about over here? This woman is a sota. So now, you're telling me the sota has the zechuyos of spiritual enablement, is that a word? Spiritual enablement of her household? I will say, come on, she's a sota. What's the answer? The answer is yes. They'll say, good people do very bad things. And good people make very poor decisions. And no, it's actually not a contradiction to have a woman who's a sota, but who's also the spiritual enabler of her family. Because sometimes good people get themselves into very bad spots. Sometimes very good people and very holy people still make very poor decisions. And it's not a contradiction. We'll say, each and every one of us is a living contradiction. Right? We do things that are good, and we do things that are really bad. And the hope is that the bad things that I do not in any way contradict or cancel out the good things that I'm currently doing. So you could have a woman who's a sota, but at the same time has done a great job enabling the spiritual growth of her family, and that's actually the schus that saves her in her time of need. Brothers, you know what the beautiful part about being a Jew is? That the Ribono Shel Olam, Ribono Shel Olam accepts our contradictions. He literally accepts our contradictions. And he understands our contradictions. And the great part is, he's willing to give us the time and the space to work through those contradictions. The only thing he wants us to do is try to work through them. That's all. That's the only expectation. I understand you live with them. We're always going to live with them. Just try to work through them. Incredible. Incredible. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, good. So my parsha is drachim. So we'll say beforehand, what's the parsha is drachim? What's the crossroads we were talking about before? So the Gemara says, this refers to Tam Tchacham and the day of death. What we spoke about before, that a Talmud, we'll say, so the crossroads represent death. A Talmud Chacham, Rashi says, no matter how great he is never above the possibility of sin until the day of death. It says, Mishnah Avos, Atamin ba'atzmecha ad yomosecha. Do not believe in yourself until the day of your death. Recognize you are a person is never above temptation, literally until they leave this world. That ultimately, a Talmud Chacham, even after he has mitzvahs and even after he has Torah, is never fully secure in his spiritual identity until he has yiras chet, until he develops this midah of a fear of sin. Marzutra Amar Zetam, what's the name to talk about over here? Zetam Tchacham, Tisalkali Shmaita Liba de Hilchasa. Zetam Tchacham, ultimately, again, who's finally privileged to have his rulings accepted halacha lemaisa. Davar Acher, Avera Mechabe Mitzvah, Vein Avera Mechabe Torah. Both say, Avera could extinguish a mitzvah, but Avera can never extinguish Torah. Incredible. I'm Rabbi Yosef. Darsher Menachem Bar Yossi Lahaikra Kisinai. Rabbi Yosef said, Rabbi Menachem Bar Yossi darshened this pasuk like Sinai, really like it was it expounded on Har Sinai. And had Doeg and Achitofel, right? Two arch enemies of David HaMelech darshened the pasuk this way, they would have never pursued David and made his life miserable. Dichsiv Leimar Elokim Azavu. They say they had forsaken God. My drosh. Lo yira b'cha ervas davar. Pasuk says you shall not engage in any matter of immorality. So I'll say, so again, they assumed that once a person engages in a matter of immorality, by definition, they've severed their relationship with Hashem. And they felt that because of the whole episode of David and Bathsheba, David HaMelech had no relationship with Hashem anymore. V'hein einon yodin sha'avera mechabe mitzvah, v'hein avera mechabe Torah. Why? Wow, we'll say, listen to this. And they never understood. It's true. An Avera could extinguish a mitzvah. Rabbi say, what could an Avera never extinguish? Torah. An Avera can never extinguish Torah. Rabbi say, the Torah you have is yours and yours forever. Rabbi say, switching gears. My Yavozulo. Rabbi say, what's the pasuk that it means? Literally, Boz Yavozulo. They will scorn him. What does that refer to? Amra Ula. It's supposed to say, incredible Gemara. Lo Kishimun Achi Azariah. It will say not like Shimon, the brother of Azariah, and not like Rabbi Yochanan and the house of the Nasi. It will say these represented synergistic partnerships, Yisachar Zvulun partnerships of people who are learning and other people who are successful in business, supporting those who are learning, and they were mutually beneficial. It will say sometimes it will say when people support learning, right? So the supporter thinks like I'm doing such a tova. Right, look at me. Let's say what the person doesn't realize is when you're supporting someone in learning, I'll say the supporter gets more out of this relationship than the one who is learning, or just as much out of the relationship than one who is learning. Because I'll say when you support Torah, you get the zuchus of Torah. So the Gemara points out over here, there are certain relationships where their supporter, we'll call it the zavulun, the worker, recognize that he was getting as much out of this relationship as the Issachar, as the learner. Contrast that, ultimately again, about with Hillel, right? Hillel and his brother Shavna, I will say, understand, Hillel was from Bavel, and he was from a very prominent Babylonian family. That was saying, understand, Hillel comes to Babel to learn Torah, and what does his family say? What his family says is, if you leave here, you're out of the family. He left anyway. They both say, remember again, this is the famous story. Remember, how did Hillel learn Torah? By the skylight. Why was he by the skylight? Because remember again, he couldn't afford the entrance fee into this. He came from one of the wealthiest Babylonian families. They both say, They wrote him off. Now what happens? There's a postscript to the story. Postscript to the story was, after Hillel became Hillel, guess who came out of the woodwork? His brother Shevna. And Shevna said, hey, please give me the schus to support you in Torah. Give you the schus to support you in Torah. Right? So we'll say, ultimately, again, what ends up happening? So the Gemara says, Shemna avadis kalasof amalei ta narov v'niflok. Let's go ahead and let's do a 50-50 split. Right? Shevna says, I'll give you money, you give me your schuyos. Yatzas abas kalva amra, im yitain ishes kalhom beso. Even if a person would go ahead and give all of the money of his home, the pasuk says, ultimately, again, right, boz yavozulo, they will still scorn him. So I said to Shevna, thank you, but too little, too late. Too little, too late. We'll say, by the way, there are a number of stories like this, right? A number of stories like this. Ultimately, again, you have, of course, Rabbi Akiva, who had a very similar story as well. His father-in-law, Kalba Savua, totally wrote him off. After he becomes Rabbi Akiva, ultimately, again, Kalba Savua wants to go ahead and share his wealth. So we'll say, it's an incredible, there's so many lessons from the story. I will say that I think for us, the major takeaway is if you want greatness in Torah, you have to be ready to sacrifice something. Right? Greatness in Torah does not come by having your cake and eating it too. Right? Greatness in Torah only comes by willingness to sacrifice. Hillel was willing to sacrifice. Rabbi Akiva was willing to sacrifice. So we'll say, we also have to sacrifice. Now, I don't think it means for us that you have to go away and sacrifice your money. I think for us, what it often means is I have to sacrifice the taivas, the desires that are holding me back. I have to sacrifice, again, the forms of worldly engagement that are not good for me. Those are the things I have to sacrifice. But greatness in Torah only comes to those who are willing to give up the things which are holding them back. Incredible. We'll say Amr Beis. Amr Ben Azai. Chayiv Adam Lalami. Rabbi Eliezer call Am Lamed is Bito Torah Malam the Tiflos. And we'll say, remember again, then the Mishnah kind of segued into a very interesting discussion about teaching one's daughter Torah. Right, so says, interestingly enough, Ben Azai said, a person should teach his daughter Torah. Well, now, why did Ben Azai say this? So I'm going to say, there's really two ways of looking at it. Either because this way she'll have the schus of Torah, and ultimately, again, I'm going to say, kind of tying this all together, if a man teaches his daughter Torah, she'll recognize the importance of Torah. If she recognizes the importance of Torah, then what? Then she'll become the spiritual enabler of her family. Right? I will say, if a woman doesn't know the importance of Torah, how could she be expected to become the spiritual enabler of her family? Right? I only know the importance of something if I'm taught it, if I'm exposed to it. If I don't know it, so Ben Azai says, teach your daughter Torah. Teach your daughter Torah. This way, again, first of all, she becomes conversant and she becomes knowledgeable, which is important even if she does not have an obligation. Second of all, she comes to appreciate it. And if she appreciates it, then Emirat Hashem, one day when she has a home of her own, she will want to instill this in her children, in her husband. She will become the enabler of other people's spiritual growth, which is the, I will say, greater than your own spiritual growth is becoming the enabler of other people's. I will say, very quickly, the Netziv says, Tanei Mekter about Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was promised that he will have descendants, like the stars of the sky, like the sensing. Did it ever happen for Avraham Avinu? Did it ever happen? Not directly, but Avraham Avinu becomes the enabler for spirituality in the world. We'll say, who is the father of spirituality in the world? Who is the father of all spirituality in the world? Of the three major faiths, it's Avraham Avinu. When Hashem says you're going to be, your descendants will be like the stars in the sky, means Avraham Avinu, you are the enabler of universal, of global spirituality. That was the schos of Avraham Avinu, to be the enabler of spiritual growth. So Ben Azai says, teach your daughter Torah. How else is she going to be an enabler if she doesn't understand? Now, I will say, on a very limited level, what Rashi and the Mishnah also said was, teach her Torah, because if Chas V'Shalom one day she's a sota and the waters don't work on her, she'll understand. It's not that they're not working on her, it's that what? Their effect have been delayed because Chos Tolala. So I will say, conversely, Eliezer says, no. Whoever teaches his daughter Torah, it's like he teaches her immorality. What does that mean? Tiflus Sagadaitra, Ela'ima Ki'ilu Lamda Tiflus. It's as if he has taught her immorality. We'll say, look at Rashi, Ki'ilu, Shemitocha, Hi Mevina Armumis, Va'usa Devarea Batsneya. This is very interesting. There is a byproduct of learning Torah, which is fascinating, which is what? It teaches you a little bit of cunning skills. And we'll say, what does this mean? So I would say, you know what the best part of it, right? We've all had this in our own lives. I would say, an interesting skill set is developed through learning. What's the interesting skill set? You can rationalize almost anything. Right? I would say, it is We're going to put this in the advertising material for Daf Yomi in the future, right? Come to the Daf, and you could actually rationalize. You could teach up pretty much anything you actually want to do in life. First of all, you'll almost find a shita for anything, right? You can find an opinion to support pretty much anything. And lemaisa, with a good lumdisha cup, right? With a good head for learning, you can rationalize a whole bunch of stuff. So there is, so it's interesting. There is, it's like anything in life. Anything positive comes with a potential spiritual downside. That's the way it works. That's wherever there's Yaakov, there's Esau, right? Wherever there's Tara, there's Tumah. That's always like that. So there is a certain danger that comes about with learning. So I must say, so interestingly enough, Rabbi Lezer is concerned about that danger. He says that perhaps a woman, possesses a certain level of innocence is the wrong word, but almost like a straightforwardness. And Torah kind of injects you with a little bit of this ability to rationalize. And that's dangerous. I'll say, isn't that an incredible idea? Sometimes there is something to be said, ultimately again, for just being a straightforward person who does not get wrapped up in all of the intellectual analysis of everything. I will say, no, don't just sometimes crave for that. I will say, the best thing sometimes that I love learning is, especially like when you want to get your head straight, is when you open up like the most esoteric piece of Chassidus. I say, you open it up, you read it, and you plug away at it for like 15, 20 minutes, half hour, and then you look at it and you realize, I have no idea what it's talking about, but it's the best feeling in the world. Why? Because I will say, sometimes the greatest spiritual moments are not the ones you use your intellect, but it's the ones in which you use your heart. And Torah is beautiful. But Torah gives you all the tools of intellectual analysis. And the truth is, to be very honest, those aren't always my greatest saviors in life. Right? Those aren't always the greatest things. Sometimes being a pashat yid, being a simple Jew, is the best thing. So therefore, you see this tension. Amar Rabbi Avo, so Rabbi Avo says, "My time to belozer tichsiv ani chachma." So what's it quotes over here? The pasuk ani chachma shachanti arma. So I'll say literally it says ani shari kevan shenichnesa chachma ba'adam. Once wisdom enters into a person, ultimately nichneses imo armumius. Ultimately, there's a certain cunning nature that has entered the person as well. So I'll say, this is important to understand, right? Lamai says something really incredibly profound. That as incredible as Torah is, as beautiful as Torah is, understand, it complicates us. Utilization of the intellectual faculties is beautiful and is a gift. But it's important to understand, sometimes it really does create difficulties in life. Rabbanan, hi ani chachma, my abdi. What did the Rabbanan ultimately do with this ani chachma? Mi bayle lechad riyosi, Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, a different Torah miskaimen, Ella b'mi shema'amit atzmo arum aleim. So Rabbi said, the Rabbanan who say, no, it's good to learn Torah, it's good to teach your daughters Torah, what do they do with this pasuk? They say arum doesn't mean cunning. And the Rabbi say, what does arum actually mean? Like it says, arum means unclothed. He'll say, if a person wants excellence in Torah, they have to make themselves arum. What does it mean? Rashi says, shepirish mikol asokim, sometimes you have to divest yourself of everything else when you're learning. Rabbi say, on a global level, what this can mean is, that Allah might say, you want excellence in Torah? Rabbi say, excellence in Torah comes from singular dedication. Singular dedication to learning. Rabbi say, you could look at this on a global level and say, yes, if somebody wants to become excellent in Torah, they have to focus on that and that alone. I will say, I think for our purposes, what it also means is like this. We speak about this often. I will say, if you want to maximize your learning experience, eliminate distractions. And I will say, this is true if you're learning for 5 minutes, if you're learning for 25 minutes, you're learning for 45 minutes, learning for 3 hours, whatever amount of learning you're doing, be present, be arum, be unclothed from every single other distraction. If you make yourself, I will say we know this, whenever you do something and you're distracted, you get about 65% of the experience. It doesn't matter if it's your learning, if it's your meeting, if it's your family time, whatever it is, if you are distracted, you're getting maybe 65% of the entire experience. So the Rabbanon will say, Vani Chachma Shachanti Arema. If you want Chachma, you want Torah, when you are with it, right, when you are engaged, be Arum. Go ahead and remove everything else from yourself. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. So I'll say, right, you know what? We'll stop over here for today. We're stopping the middle. So I'll say, so again, I also want to, we're right on schedule, but I just want to mention, we're going to come back a little bit tomorrow to some of this concept of Talmud Torah by women as well, because this is a very big discussion, especially a contemporary discussion. We'll try to, tomorrow's a shorter daf. Meretz Hashem, we'll start again at 5:50, Meretz Hashem. So we'll get a couple of more minutes and we'll catch up. I'll say, what a schus, shkoyach. All right, Chevra Zoom, have a great day, everyone.